The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Tonight our scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. This is God's inspired word. We believe it by faith, and may he bless the reading of it to our hearts. The text for the sermon is verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has given us the Lord's Day that we might gather together for public worship in the hearing of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with this being the last Sabbath of 2018 and our very last worship service on the Lord's Day in 2018, we take the opportunity to consider the subject of the passing of time and the reality of change in light of the beautiful truth of the text that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews 13 verse 8 is the text. The text is found in the book of Hebrews, which teaches the superiority of Jesus Christ above everything else, and particularly above all of the types and shadows of the old dispensation. And the book is an exhortation to the believing Hebrew Christians not to cave to the pressure of the unbelieving Jews and forsake Jesus Christ and apostatize by going back to Old Testament Judaism. The whole book shows how glorious Jesus Christ is. He's far better than anything in the Old Testament. He's far better than anything in the world. In fact, he's even better than the angels of God in heaven, for he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. That's the exhortation of the book. And now, how glorious and comforting is the truth of the text, which teaches us that this great Savior, who's superior to all else, he does not change. In addition to the content of the text, which we will explain in the sermon, an interesting feature of the text is its form. And then related to that, the connection of the text to the context. As to its form, the text is not even a sentence. The text has no verb. The text is simply an emphatic exclamation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. As to the context, it's not immediately clear how the text is related to the surrounding verses. For the beginning of Hebrews 13 contains a series of exhortations that govern the life of the believer. Verse 1, love each other. Verse 2, be hospitable. Verse 3, remember those who are imprisoned for the gospel. Verse 4, remain pure in your marriage. Verse 5 and 6, do not be covetous, but be content. Verse 7, remember your office bearers. And verse 9, do not be carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. And now, right there among all those exhortations is this emphatic exclamation, almost a kind of interjection, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And there is not in the text a connecting word like for or because or on account of this or therefore. As we will see, the text is connected to the preceding verse, verse 7, and connected to the following verse, verse 9. But the fact of the matter is that if there were supposed to be a very tight connection to the surrounding context, the Holy Spirit would have made that very clear. But there is no tight connection, and that is significant. The text is the believer's emphatic exclamation, almost interjection about Jesus that can be uttered anywhere, at any time, in any context, in any theological instruction. And it's always appropriate and meaningful and instructive and comforting, full of application. This verse that we consider tonight could be found anywhere in the book, and it would fit. Now, it's very beautiful that it comes in the last chapter, because the text is teaching us everything that's been said about Jesus Christ in the first 12 chapters. Well, now you need to know this about Him. He does not change. There really is no time in which it would be inappropriate for a teacher in the church who's teaching sound doctrine, or for the believer in his Christian life, to exclaim, Jesus Christ is the same forever. And so tonight, on our very last Lord's Day in 2018, this is our believing expression. Together, from the heart, we confess that Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday and today and forever. So let's look at the truth of Hebrews 13, verse 8, under the theme, the changeless Jesus Christ. One, the proper understanding. Two, the comforting knowledge. And three, the believing expression. The doctrinal term that we would use in a catechism class or would find in a theological textbook to explain the main teaching of this text is immutability. The immutability of God is that attribute of God whereby He is, in the fullness of His being, changeless. He does not change. He is from age to age the same. This passage says of Jesus Christ, the Savior who died for us, He is the same. If we look back at who Jesus was yesterday, literally December 29, 2018, or figuratively, if from the perspective of the believing Hebrew Christians, we look back to yesterday when we first heard the gospel and believed, or if we look back to yesterday when Jesus was walking on this earth, or if we look all the way back to the yesterday of the Old Testament, wherein Jesus was found through types and shadows according to promise, and if we look at Jesus Christ today, December 30, 2018, and if we look at Jesus Christ tomorrow and even into the everlasting future, as He is encircled by and praised by the universal church in heaven, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Regarding the proper understanding of this text and the changelessness of Jesus Christ, two things ought to be immediately obvious to us. One, obviously, Jesus Christ does not change with respect to His divine nature. Chapter 1 teaches us that He is a divine person having a divine nature. And even as God the Father is immutable and God the Holy Ghost is immutable, so God the Son is immutable. Throughout all of time, Jesus Christ remains exactly the same with respect to His divinity. Second, it is immediately obvious to everyone that Jesus Christ changes with respect to His human nature. With respect to His manhood, He changed in physical appearance as He went from a little baby in a manger to a full-grown man. With respect to His manhood, He changed in His condition as He went from a suffering, persecuted, hated, mocked, ridiculed, spit upon, beaten, slandered, crucified servant to a heavenly King at God's right hand. What could be a greater change than the change from life to death to an even better life. The Scripture explicitly teaches that Jesus Christ changes, for example, in terms of his physical and intellectual development as a man. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child grew, waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Luke 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. With respect to his divinity, he does not change. Even when he took a human nature, his divinity did not change. With respect to his human nature, he changes. What then is the proper understanding of Hebrews 13, verse 8, which teaches that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever? In his work, he performs for us as Jesus Christ. He does not change. The two most important words in the text for a proper interpretation of the text are the first two words, the proper nouns, the names, Jesus and Christ. First, Jesus is our Savior's personal name, and it reveals the essential nature of his work. Matthew 1 verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His work is to save us from our sins. His work is not, first of all, to save us from poverty and government oppression and racism and diseases, though in the end, as the fruit of his essential work, he will save us from all of these things that belong to the present existence in this world. But his essential work is to save us from our sins, to remove the guilt, to deliver us from the enslaving power of sin, to cleanse us from the pollution of sin, to free us from our condemnation in Adam. That which causes separation between us and God and makes us liable to everlasting condemnation is sin. And Jesus' work is to save us from our sins by making us righteous. In this, Jesus never changes. In the Old Testament, when he worked through types and shadows according to promise, and during his ministry, even when he healed physical diseases, and now as he sits at God's right hand in 2018, he is the Savior from sin. And into all eternity, we will praise him as the one who saved us from our sins. He shall save us from our sins. No one has ever been able to save us. Moses couldn't save us yesterday. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't save us yesterday. Our own good works cannot save us today. No one will ever be able to save us, from Adam to the last elect child who's ever born in this world. Jesus is the only one who can save a sinner. He shall save us from our sins. He shall save his people from their sins. From the cross where he shed his blood to God's right hand where he is the mediator who applies his blood, he does not intend to save anyone who is not one of his sheep. He's never intended to save one who is not one of his sheep. He shall save his elect people from their sins. And he will, and he does. Every single one of them, for he shall save his people from their sins. and willingly, from a loving heart. He's never saved anyone because he feels compelled to do so against his will. Revelation 1 verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. His name? Jesus. What does it mean? He shall save his people from their sins. As Jesus the Savior, who saves us from our sins, he never changes. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And second, Christ. Christ is our Savior's official title. It means anointed, so that he is God's anointed office bearer, prophet, priest, and king. And as our prophet, priest, and king, he never changes. As a prophet, it is his work to reveal to us our God, to reveal the truth of God, the word of God, the promises of God, the covenant secrets of God, the counsel of God concerning our redemption. And in the Old Testament, through anointed prophets, or while he was on this earth preaching from a boat in the Sea of Galilee, or as he spoke through the apostles, or today as he speaks through faithful office bearers, and into all eternity as he speaks to us, he always reveals our covenant God to us. We will never look at Jesus. We will never hear Jesus speak and see or hear anything other than a revelation, the perfect revelation of our loving covenant God. He never changes as the prophet of God. As a priest, it is his work to bring us near unto God in covenant fellowship. In the Old Testament, through anointed priests who would offer sacrifices, who would, through the high priest, go once a year behind the veil, who would come out and give the blessing to Israel. Or while Jesus himself was on this earth in his ministry and he went outside the gate, outside the camp, to shed his own blood on the altar, or as he is right now in heaven as the intercessor who's applying his blood. His work has always been to bring his people close and closer unto God in the assurance of faith on the basis of his blood for fellowship and to receive God's blessing. And into all eternity, he will be our priest, our mediator, who will draw us nearer and nearer unto God in deeper and deeper experiences of all of the pleasures that are forevermore at the right hand of our covenant God. As our priest, he never changes. As king, it is his work to protect us from enemies and to govern us and rule us in his grace. Through all the ages, he's always delivered his people, whether from Amalekites and Philistines, or from heretics and heresies, or from gross immorality in the world, to Satan and all of his demons. King Jesus delivers. And his work has always been to govern us and govern us in such a way that whether in the Old Testament or now in the New Dispensation, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he comes inside of his people, into our hearts to set up his throne and to graciously rule us from within so that we have the power to fight against our sins and devote ourselves unto God. And into all eternity, he will be our king who rules over us and rules us in such a way that we under him will have rule over the vast new creation as kings. The proper understanding of the phrase Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever is that in his work that he performs for us as Jesus Christ, He does not change. For this reason, the gospel never changes. The gospel, as it was first preached in paradise to Adam and Eve after the fall and through the blood of a lamb. The gospel, as it was preached in the old dispensation through types and shadows. The gospel, as it was preached by Jesus on a mountain or in the temple. The gospel, as it was preached by the apostles and by all faithful preachers to this very day. The gospel never changes in its essential message, which is Jesus Christ shall save us, his people, from all our sins. If he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then because he's the content of the gospel, today's gospel is yesterday's gospel. And today's gospel is tomorrow's gospel. And yesterday's gospel and today's gospel and tomorrow's gospel is the gospel forever and ever. The gospel doesn't change. Now, of course, we gain deeper insights into the gospel. Of course, our understanding of the gospel develops through time, and particularly in confronting heresies, which force us deeper and deeper into the scriptures. We change, but the gospel does not change. God's priest, God's prophet, God's King shall save us from our sins. And so the content of our faith never changes. And the rock upon which we stand never changes. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. To know this is so comforting, isn't it? Because we live in a world where nothing remains the same. Everything changes. Everything fluctuates and everything moves and all creatures are full of vicissitudes. Everything's changing. But Jesus Christ is changeless. First of all, we change, and we can make that personal, each one for himself, saying, I change. Yesterday I obeyed, but today the cost for obedience was too high, and so I didn't obey. I change. Yesterday my love for God burned like a flame. I'd be willing to sacrifice my life for God. But today my love for God is like a fire in the embers. My first love isn't so strong. I find more pleasing to me myself or my family or my possessions or my career than I do my God. My love changes. I change. Yesterday my faith was at high tide. The joy of the Lord was my strength. But today my faith is at low tide. I'm sinking and overcome by doubts, crying. My thought of God brings me no peace, but rather makes my fears increase. With sleepless eyes and speechless pain, my fainting spirit grieves in vain. The blessedness of long ago makes deeper still my present woe. I change. Yesterday I was healthy and running around like a young man. But today I'm hooked up to IVs and lying flat on my back in a hospital bed. I changed. Physically, in my body I change, and spiritually, in my soul I change, but my comfort is knowing that Jesus Christ, the prophet who reveals to me the God who loves me, and my priest who brings me nearer to God, and my king who rules over me in God's kingdom, he doesn't change. He shall save me. Secondly, circumstances change. Today, one political party controls the House and or the Senate, and tomorrow, another political party controls the House and or Senate. Today, the ground is firm. Tomorrow, a great earthquake shakes the earth. Society is fast-paced and always changing, so that the world we live in today is not the world our parents lived in yesterday. And the world we live in today is not the world our children will live in tomorrow. Everything's always changing. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. From some points of view, change is good and necessary. But things are changing. Yesterday, the teacher stood in front of the classroom with a little white dusty stick called a piece of chalk and wrote on a blackboard. Today, the teacher is in Europe and speaks to the class through a camera while the students type on a Chromebook that by the end of the year will be technologically out of date. Things are always changing. Creatures change, circumstances change, but the most important thing in the whole world is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It never changes. Christ is the same. So that yesterday, the minister came by horse and buggy through the woods, and he sat down with the grieving family around the big stove in the kitchen, and he opened up his Dutch Bible, and for the comfort of their grieving hearts, he read to them the story of Jesus at sea, on a boat during the storm, saying, "Peace be still," and calming the storm. And today perhaps the minister comes in an electric car and he takes out his smartphone and he reads in English of Jesus calming the storm for the comforting of the hearts of the family. Circumstances change, but the one who calms the storm, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thirdly, with respect to the instituted church, things change. And here's the connection to the immediate context. Verse 7, men. Verse 9, doctrine. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The writer is speaking of office bearers who rule over us and teach us in the church and are calling to remember them. He's referring to men. Well, men change. Office bearers change. A man can die so that he's no longer with us. A pastor can take a call to another church so that he's no longer with us. An office bearer can be imprisoned for the sake of the gospel and he's no longer with us. An office bearer can be deposed for some sin of conduct or some sin of doctrine. He's no longer with us as an office bearer. Or he can apostatize and leave. He's gone. Men change. Jesus Christ, he is the same. Yesterday and today and forever. Doctrine may change. Verse 9, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. To be sure, the doctrine of Scripture never changes. But any particular church or denomination's confession and teaching of doctrine can change and change for the worse and become heretical. But our comfort is that Jesus Christ never changes. And so the true doctrine of the Scripture will never change. And because this changeless Jesus Christ promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church, there will always, to the end of the world, be found somewhere in the earth the confession of the true, unchanging doctrine of Scripture. Fourth, the world changes. By world now, we mean wicked men and women who live by the principle of corruption within and who produce unfruitful works of darkness as a race that is alienated from God, hostile to our Lord Jesus Christ and His church, and ruled by Prince Satan. The world changes. The world is getting darker and darker by the hour. Deceivers are waxing worse and worse. Iniquity is abounding, and man is being exalted higher and higher on his proud throne of iniquity. Now, of course, there's nothing new under the sun. The principle of corruption has been found in the world from the moment of the fall. The world is the world. But that principle or that seed, it grows. It develops. It manifests itself more and more as being overtly anti-God. The cup of iniquity does fill. Our comfort living in this perverse world is that Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same prophet who will reveal to us and our children our great God. And He's the same priest who will take us and our children and bring us nearer to God, drawing us out of this world of corruption. He's the same King who will graciously rule over us and our children. And even as He protected those of old from Goliath, He will protect us from the Goliaths of the world. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Finally, people change. No doubt there were professing Hebrew Christians who apostatized, who were seduced and pressured by the unbelieving Jews so that they left the Christian church and the confession of Jesus Christ and they went back to the Judaism of the Old Testament. People apostatize. And that's not because Jesus Christ changes as if He was their king today, ruling them in their hearts, but tomorrow He no longer rules them in their hearts. He doesn't change. People change. From making a hypocritical confession of the faith, which is not genuine, to an open denial of the faith. People change. People apostatize. People are fickle, and we know that because we're all fickle. Our opinions about a person or a situation or a matter can change with the wind. And she who is your biggest supporter today might be your biggest critic tomorrow. And then what? Even in our closest relationships, we change from one moment to the next because we simply are not steadfast in our love and commitment, which is why the chapter begins, "Let brotherly love continue." We change, but our comfort is that Jesus Christ does not change. His love for us continues unchanged. He is as determined to save us today as He was yesterday, and He will be determined to save us tomorrow. He's steadfast in His love for us. And if we try standing on any other person than Jesus, we're setting ourselves up for sorrow. There's only one rock upon which to stand. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now we know all about yesterday and we know all about today, but we don't know about tomorrow. The text makes a special point of assuring us regarding the future. For it literally reads, Jesus Christ, yesterday and today, the same. And forever. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's our King James, the original. Jesus Christ, yesterday and today the same, and forever. Making a special point to assure us regarding the future so that no matter how we change, circumstances change, things in the Church Institute change, the world changes, and other people change, Jesus Christ will never change into all eternity. Believe this, beloved. Say this. The text takes the form of an emphatic exclamation, a kind of interjection right into the flow of the chapter, and it's an expression for us to take and take to ourselves and make our own. Believe it and say it. And faith will do that. Unbelief will hear the word tonight and say, those are some interesting things that were said. But never take it and draw it to the heart. Or unbelief will hear and emphatically reject and say, you can have this Jesus Christ. Or unbelief will say, what the text says is true. I just don't believe it's true for me. Believe. Shame on unbelief. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14. Believe and express tonight, the last Lord's Day of 2018, and say, I change and everything around me changes, but Jesus Christ does not change. Believe and express, if I must change, if I must leave behind some lifestyle, some besetting sin that hinders me in the race, some false doctrine, if I must change, if I must repent and believe, there is in Jesus Christ the power. In the changeless Jesus Christ is the power to change. Believe. And because Jesus Christ does not change, He will do tonight what He's always done with His Word. He will take it and sovereignly bind it to the hearts of all of His people whom He saves from their sins, so that we His people do believe and exclaim, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we change, and next time we see each other, we will be different, even if we can't perceive the difference. But Thou wilt not be different. Next time we see each other, Thou wilt be the same God as Thou art today. Because thou art a God of saving love, whose mercy faileth never, we have so much comfort and confidence tonight. So take this word of truth we have heard and sovereignly and irresistibly and graciously implant it into the hearts of all of us, that we may believe in Christ and find Him to be our only comfort in life and in death. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.